Gospel of Matthew.
Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 10, I believe it is. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. Any service, my experience has been, and I've not been in the ministry as long as Pastor Harvey, but for somebody my age, I've been on the way quite a while, and the Lord's allowed us to see some unusual things over the years. In years gone by, we used to have protracted meetings, and I thank the Lord that I was even involved in some of that, even though I'm not that old. And we had protracted meetings, and we just kicked the ends of them out and went as long as the Lord would have us go. A couple times over the years that I've been coming to Altman Baptist Church, when I used to preach church meetings here, a few of those were protracted, and the Lord worked. And I've watched the Lord work in many of the families here. The Thorey family, for instance, I remember one time, I don't think Joe said that he got right with God then, but I was up on the altar praying with Joe, and Joe and I are, we're not close where we call each other all the time, but Joe and I are good friends. He was telling me there the other day, asked again when I was going to move up here, amen. I said, I done tried that once, and as far as I know, that's not going to happen again. We'd be shooting up all your ammunition. So, and we both enjoy stuff like that. But I appreciate what the Lord has done in many of your hearts. And I trust the Lord will have his will and way. You cannot, you never can duplicate a service. You can't do that. And you don't even try that. Because each service is different. Each spiritual temperature is different. A lot of times our hearts are not in tune the same way. And they should be, but many times they're not. And so you just get up and preach the Word of God, whether the services are flat or whether the Spirit is grieved. Amen. You get up and preach the Word of God. But a lot of times I've seen men that have wisdom, when the service is flat or the Spirit is grieved, they begin exalting the Lord. And certainly He is a wonderful Savior, is He not? And thank God, I'm glad that I know Him. I'm glad that He knows me. I'm glad, thank God, that one day I saw myself as God seen me, as a lost sinner, condemned, ungodly, on my way to hell, on that broad path that leads to destruction. And thank God, I'm glad that God put out some roadblocks for me. Amen. Preaching's a roadblock. Amen. Conviction's a roadblock. Praise God. Hallelujah. The reproof of God is a roadblock on your way to hell. And I'm glad that God put those roadblocks, as it were. I preach many times about the cities of refuge, and God also removed some things out of your life. Amen. They made sure all those paths and those roads were clear so the people could get to the city of refuge. Amen. And I'm glad God's able to clear a path and so that we can get to God. Amen. We flee for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Amen. Thank God for that. Well, the Lord is so gracious to us and so good to us. Take your Bibles and again turn to Matthew chapter number 19, and we'll read some scripture here about a young man that was, I believe, sincere. I believe he was sincere in his questioning of the Lord, but a young man that didn't understand some spiritual things that the Lord tried to enlighten him about. And, you know, sometimes, Brother Daniel, we may get disturbed when people, amen, don't get the message and don't get right with God. There were many people that the Lord dealt with personally in His ministry that did not get right with God. The Savior. And, you know, Brother Lockhart, I try to be careful. I don't want my message to be confusing. I don't want it to be conflicting. But the Lord of all the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, dealt with people in his ministry and they went away unchanged. And I trust the Lord will help us. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 16 of Matthew chapter number 19, the Bible says here, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, the saying of going and selling and giving to the poor, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Yes. Jesus gave him a stipulation here. And whatever God deals in your heart about repenting and forsaking of, that's what you're going to have to do. This man didn't have to be willing to sell these things. He had to go and sell them. But he had a great possessions. And he went away sorrowful. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It didn't say that they could not, it said hardly. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. I want to preach just on a simple, simple thought today with the help of the Lord. Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just might steady our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would direct our thoughts toward the things of God and the Lord Jesus. The scriptures, thank God for the Bible, this King James Bible. I have full confidence that this is the Word of God, is inspired, is inerrant. There is no error in it. And thank God, I'm glad that, Lord, we can preach with authority because we're preaching the direct words of God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd use it, Lord, today. And Lord, pierce the hearts and the minds and the souls of men. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, lest we misunderstand the text here, who then can be saved? You say, are you excluding anybody? Let's look at some other portions of Scripture that are familiar to us, amen. Not that we're apologizing for what we're preaching, but we're scriptural here in our message. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, I could attempt to quote it, but with the help of the Lord, we'll read it here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, you can look at it if you want to. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if you die and go to hell, it certainly won't be God's fault. And God did not have a desire for you to go to hell. And you're not going to stick your forefinger in the face of God, your index finger in the face of God, and say, you're the reason I am going to an eternal hell and the lake of fire. You have a choice, and that's the reason you're in this place. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 22, if you want to look, the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirst, that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life, the water of life freely. The water of life freely. Whosoever will. And thank God, I'm glad that includes you and I and everybody in Western Pennsylvania and everybody in East Tennessee and everybody in the southern, I guess it'd be the southwestern portion of New York, amen. Everybody, amen, has an opportunity. Everybody won't come, but everybody could come, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just, it's the Bible. Amen. Thank God for that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. Notice what the scripture says here. The Bible says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Who can be saved? It's not God's will that any should perish.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. We was having some talking there the other day, and these people that major on hyper-Calvinism, it's amazing that all their family get to be in the elect.
How about it? Yeah.
Amen. All their family have an opportunity to be saved. I would hate to think, listen, none of my children would ever have an opportunity to be saved. But the truth really is, they've had many opportunities to hear the gospel and actually be in services, amen, where the presence of God has been felt and fail. And if they don't get right with God, and you deal with your children as you want to, amen, I continuously pray for my children, even those that profess to be saved.
Right.
I told one of my daughters last night, I can't be the Holy Ghost in your life, amen, but I want a work of grace to be done in their lives. And so therefore, amen, it's not that I'm necessarily doubting them. Some of the works that may be produced, it produces doubts in my mind. But I want the Holy Ghost to work in their heart in such a way, amen, that they know without any reservation, any hesitation, not just hold on to the scripture, and I don't demean the scripture, but they know there's been a work that's been done in their heart. that they are in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so I continuously pray for them. I take them out on purpose sometimes. My daughters on dates, and sometimes I take out my sons individually and collectively and witness to them personally of the saving grace of God. I won't tell you which one, amen. I'm not interested in embarrassing. It seemed like even at the close of the service, seemed like one of them was dealt with. One of them was on an altar one time. And I'm not demeaning. I understand what the pastor said, last night about little ones, amen. But listen, I think it is so with children, amen. I like a lot of times the parents deal with the children. That's just my personal opinion.
Oh, yeah.
They know them better than anybody else, amen. And one of them was on the altar one time, and I knew they had no clue what was going on. And somebody led them in a prayer, and I said, they don't have a clue. He said, well, I don't like that, amen. Whatever, I'll give an account for it.
Right.
They didn't have a clue what was going on.
Right.
Amen? They didn't have a clue what was going on. But I'm going to tell you, when you get and you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's revealed to you through the scriptures and through the Spirit, and by revelation, God illuminates and it begins to dispel the darkness in your life. Amen. Listen, friend, nobody will have to testify for you. Listen, I'm not saying you may not know the date. You may not know this specific time. Amen. But nobody, you won't have to turn around and say, how old was I when I got saved? Amen. You'll know when you got saved. Amen. You know. Amen. Listen, it wasn't just something that happened at a point in time. It's ongoing now. That's what believeth. It's not just one time. Believeth. It's an ongoing action. It had an initial point, but it's still going on today. And I'm not condoning any kind of sin. God forbid. But even when you're not right with God, you can get along with God in the scriptures, amen, and find out from God, and the Holy Spirit can begin to bear witness, amen, that we are the children of God. And the old timers, and you've heard me at Altman, amen, say this time and time again. I'm not throwing off, a lot of them influence me, but they would say in the meetings such as we had last night that the Spirit of God floats from breast to breast. But that's not what it's talking about, amen. He lets us know we have a connection, amen. He lets us know. It's not me knowing whether you're saved. He lets me know that I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We ain't supposed to do this in the morning, are we? Amen. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord is so gracious to us. Who then can be saved? Looks like to me, amen, God gives everybody an opportunity to be saved. What excuse are we going to have from this camp to go from this camp, from this place, under this preaching? What excuse are you from Altman that's had a preacher, a pastor with a transformed life, that God changed his life and preaches the gospel? What excuse are you going to have to leave a nation that has had the blessings and the privileges that we've had in America, that in times past we've heard the gospel?
Right.
We have privileges like no other country. We've been blessed beyond measure. I go in home deliveries, amen, and I am amazed what people have. Not jealous of them. Amazed. The edifices, amen, they build. They ain't there much, amen. They're at work. But I mean, you look what God has blessed us with, and then to have a church. And many times they're smaller in number if the gospel's being preached. Many times, not all the time, but many times, they're small in number. And you go out into eternal darkness and never knew the redeeming grace of God. Hell's going to be a hot place, friend.
Right. Yes,
sir. Yes. Hell's going to be a hot place. To whom much is given, much shall be required.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Bible says Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Look at it with me if you want to. Those pages turning, amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I know I'm a little dogmatic. In fact, I get automatic on some of this stuff. Amen. But limited atonement is heretical doctrine if you know the scriptures. He died for every man. That's exactly right. I was talking to a young man one time that I tell you used to have, seemed like he had a burden for souls, seemed like he had a touch on his preaching, and he merged over, amen, into this what we call hyper-Calvinism. Effectual call, general call. And I said, to believe limited atonement, brother, is heresy, according to the Bible.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not the scriptures. Right. He died for every man.
Yeah.
He said, you call me a heretic, amen. You know, we eventually just had to, and I don't separate a lot over some of this stuff, amen. I was telling somebody the other day, amen. I was reading Galatians, and I preach a message on eating up other Christians. He said, you bite and devour one another. So, I mean, you know, I went through the title book and found out a title for that message. No, I just called it Eating Up Other Christians. Amen. And so we're so quick to separate many times on so many issues. And I tried to be long-suffering, but, you know, some of that stuff you just can't hack. And I said, you know, I told the brother finally one time, and really the last time we talked, he was picking on me because he knew that I'd been raised. My dad wouldn't allow playing cards in the home, you know, jacks and spades. And I'm not fussing at you, man. But listen, for whatever reason, my dad wouldn't allow that in the home, and that stuff like that stuck with me. And I've never had a deck of cards in my home. Brother Don Green would preach against it all the time. Tell about that French infidel, amen, that developed all that stuff and come up with all that. It was all a ridicule against the Lord Jesus Christ. And we was he's actually having a civil conversation. And he brought up, amen, and wanted to argue about playing cards. I said, you know what, brother? You and I don't edify one another. We don't. I threatened one time to choke him in Christian love, and he's a big old fella. I mean, you know, because I just get so upset. He just wanted to argue about everything, and I had to call him back and apologize for it. Amen. Yeah. And listen, friend, I said we just don't edify one another. We just probably need to separate. And I've not talked to him. I prayed for him for years, but not talked to him in years. But you know what? He shed his blood according to the scriptures for every man.
Yes. Yeah. Every man.
Every man. Who then can be saved? Number one, those, very simple. I mean, you already know the points. Those, but it bears repeating. Those that are convicted by the Holy Ghost are the ones that can be saved.
Amen.
Amen. See, the Bible clearly tells us, amen, in John 6, we got to run a little faster now. John 6 and verse number 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's the Spirit that makes alive. It's the Spirit that awakens our senses toward the Lord. I dare say there's probably people in this room today that probably never been in a service says it's what you experienced last night. Some of you probably tore your plumb out of the frame. You know why? We hardly ever in our Baptist churches have a move of God. We go through a form, we go through a format, we have a program. Some of the churches down south, where I'm from, the mountain churches, it's unwritten. But we're going to fulfill that program. And God never interrupts our services. Amen? Because we've done got Him programmed out. What do we need the Holy Ghost for? Amen? We have our songs. We have our announcements. We have our little message. Amen. It doesn't matter. Amen. If God the Holy Ghost prods the preacher to go a different direction. Amen. We're going to preach our little message that we got out of a Bible school somewhere and our little outline. And we're going to run with it. Amen. And God never visits us. Never. Yeah. I'm not against organization. God's a God of order. But one thing that I have told young preachers, anointing is what makes preaching. Not in mannerisms. When I first started preaching, amen, Brother Jason, I mimicked Brother Allen to a T. Brother Sammy. I'd preach and hold my handkerchief, amen. He influenced me more than any other preacher.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not mannerisms.
Right.
It's the power of God.
Amen.
And if we let God have His will and way and learn to be sensitive to God, God could have His will and way and begin to prick people's hearts about their lost condition.
Amen.
Those that are convicted of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. Let's look at some classic, what I would call classic texts on conviction. John chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8. John chapter 16 and verse number 8. The Bible says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. If you believe this Bible is inspired of God, amen, and the Word of God is inspired of God, God has a divine order to the Scriptures. When God begins to move amongst us and God draws near, and God convicts sinners, He convicts them first of sin.
Right. Yeah.
He'll dredge up all the filthy, wicked, ungodly things in your life.
Yep.
And we heard testimony last night, you won't like it.
Right.
Because He'll bring sin to the forefront. Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Unbelief. Let me say this right here, lest you misunderstand. Unbelief is not just ignorance.
Yeah. Right.
Probably most of the people in here are not ignorant of truth. You may not have obeyed it. You're not ignorant of it. But unbelief. The Pharisees. I've always said this. The Pharisees are classic examples of unbelievers.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. They were looking for the Messiah. They knew from Isaiah what He would do. The miracles He would perform. Jesus come on the scene and they said, we be not born of fornication.
Yeah.
You're a fornicator. They rejected Him. They looked and the Lord Jesus, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he performed every miracle proving he was the Messiah. But yet in their unbelief, they were rebelling against the truth of the Word of God. And many of them died in that darkness. They were classic examples of unbelievers. They wasn't in ignorance. Many of them could take the Bible, start quoting in Genesis, and quote the whole five books of the Old Testament. They were scribes. They were Pharisees. Unbelief is just not ignorance. That, hey, we'll share the simple plan, amen? And if you'll acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior, bow your heads, pray these magic words, and you'll be saved. And you don't have a shred of Bible for that. I'm not against praying. I believe a sinner will pray. Whether it be audibly, whether it be in their heart, I have no problem with that. But I'm going to tell you what, just selling Jesus out cheap like you'd sell a used car, amen, is not salvation.
Right.
We went through the 70s and stuff like that. I'm not throwing off on getting people to church. If you're getting people to God, amen. But brought them in by the carloads and the busloads. Offered them candy, anything they could. If they got a better deal at the next church there, they went to that church. And led a host of people that now are in the pulpits of America. I'm not talking about the Methodist, brother. I don't preach in their churches. Right. I'm talking about fundamental independent Baptist churches now that have been led to the knowledge. They have a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but never been broke up, never been pierced, never been convicted, never been brought to the knowledge of their sin and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. They don't know anything about that. They get in a service where there's conviction, and they criticize, and they mock, and they make fun. Now they're leaders in our churches.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Our Bible colleges are filled with it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
You say you're just shooting your mouth off, amen. Listen, I made profession that, and that ain't the reason, that don't drive my message, but I made profession at age 9 and 10. I'm just telling you what happened to me. But it didn't change my life. But at the age of 19, at Hiles Anderson College.
That's right.
Most of that crowd needs to be saved. Amen.
Yeah.
God,
the Holy Ghost, took a man of God that preached that day as the fruits. Somebody mentioned that. The fruits of the Spirit as an evidence of salvation. And I saw that I was void and barren. I had no direction. The Holy Ghost didn't live and abide with me. And God, the Holy Ghost, showed me I was lost without Him.
Amen.
I was going to fulfill an obligation that I'd commitment to, that I'd made to my parents, to go to Bible school, Peter, for 1 year. And then I was going to join the Marine Corps. And God, the Holy Ghost, met me in Crown Point, Indiana. God, the Holy Ghost convicted me. God, the Holy Ghost broke me up. I'm talking about in a chapel service where I couldn't help it. And I began to sob, amen. And listen, outwardly, amen. And probably people wonder what was wrong. And when that speaker, closed the service, amen, I began praying and crying out to God from my heart, amen. And thank God He saved me for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not throwing off. Listen, I don't gloat and glory in any man's sin or demise.
Right.
Yes. But I'm telling you, Mr. Jack Scop taught the next class. Sure did. Some of you know.
Sure.
Mr. Jack Scop taught the next class. I raised my hand. This is class. This is Bible school. I raised my hand. I said, I'd like to say something. I was all broke up, and I said, the Lord Jesus dealt with my heart in that service. Amen. And I just want to tell you, I got saved. Listen, I got right with God, and they began to gather around. Later on, they said, well, don't be surprised, Rick, if you find out that, listen, you was really saved when you was 9 or 10. I said, oh, no, I know when I got saved. I got saved in that service. Amen. I know when God saved me. I thank God to know. You know when you get saved. When did you get under conviction? When did God bring you to the end of yourself? Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
When did God break up the fallow ground? We're dealing, Brother Tim, with fallow ground, amen. That's been pressed down and got hard, amen. Preaching, amen, will break up the fallow ground, the untilled soul. We need a lot of plowing. Keep on plowing, Pastor Harvey. Keep on preaching, Brother Jason. Listen, keep on laying the plow deep and put the furrows in long. Amen. Somebody asked Brother Jim Pruitt years ago. He's already went on to his own reward. Did you ever get here, Brother Jim? Brother Harvey, Jim Pruitt. Brother Pruitt, if you'll let us know how many people make professions in your meetings, we'll put it in our paper. Brother Jim Pruitt in his wisdom said this, I don't keep the Lamb's Book alive.
Amen.
I don't keep the Lamb's Book alive. But if you'll preach, God will use it.
Yeah.
If you plow, God will convict. God will do unusual things.
Sure. Amen.
Amen. Some things you can't even explain. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't think I read the rest of that. Listen, friend, I don't really worry if I get to certain points in a message. Hallelujah. When you preach the Word of God, it's the Word of God from front to back anyway. I ain't got an illustration I've got to get to.
Yeah.
I don't know no poems to quote. I don't know them things, amen. Homiletics, hermeneutics that I took, amen. When I was in Bible school and they said during homiletics that we was to preach a message, I thought they really meant it. And you think I'm bad? Listen, when I was young, I had no sense whatsoever. They shut, God be the glory. Wasn't being smart. They would shut every class down at Ambassador. We was in a little block building there, a former Christian school, and they would shut every class down because they couldn't teach above my preaching. And I would preach, and they'd listen to me preach. Now, on the report, amen, I'd get back on my paper and say, too long and too loud.
Hey.
But I thought they really meant for me to preach. And I preached like they's all going to hell.
That's right.
Amen.
I'd really preach. I'd preach a message.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got no positions at Ambassador, and I'm not mad. I'm not bitter. I'm not a bitter evangelist. Because of that, I had no positions. I didn't represent the school. I was kind of a little bit of an embarrassment to the school. And at least the class body, they would vote me as the student body preacher. At least they knew that much. And I'd preach to the student body. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, we need to get back to old-fashioned preaching. We need to get back to the secret place and ask God to move in our midst. Because if God don't move in our midst, we're through anyway.
You're right.
Souls are hanging in the balance. People are dying and going to hell and have no knowledge of their sin. And we've got to get back to preaching the Word of God so God can use that Word to convict people. Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So to convict means to admonish, convince. We're talking about the Holy Ghost work now. That's what he does. He convinces men of sin. I think an old time song says that he convinces men of sin. You can't talk people in. Now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, man. My time's about up and I'll be done here at my time. But you take the Bible and say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul winner. Isn't that right? And the sinner, and the sinner agrees. Yeah, that's right. But they don't have no knowledge they're a sinner. You lead them in a profession and they go right back to popping pills, drinking beer, smoking, listen, a bowl of marijuana. Listen, friend, getting on narcotics. Listen, friend, go right back to the same lifestyle, back to the honky-tonk, back to the sin, back to the girlfriend, amen. Yeah. I think of a good brother that I'm familiar with. He got right with God and he got saved. He was shacking up. I won't even mention his name. He was shacking up, amen. He said, we can't live like this, amen. We can't live, we got to get married, amen. And he didn't know all the ins and outs, amen, but he went to the couch. I'm just telling you what he said. He went to the couch, amen, and he said, we got to get married the next day. I got right with God. This is not right. Amen, 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 amen. What is that? That's salvation's what it is. I have no confidence in people that say they get right with God and want to live habitually in sin.
Amen.
I have no confidence in that stuff.
Amen.
Don't cover for your kids. Get concerned about your kids. This will mess up. They're like their daddy. They mess up, amen. But listen, friend, if you see no evidence of a new birth, amen, you better get to praying. You get to praying that God will open their eyes, that God, the Holy Ghost, will visit them.
Amen.
You'll be crying yourself to sleep one night where your boy or girl, amen,'s out with some floozy. Amen. And you scotched them the whole time, and you told them you saved. Don't you remember? Don't you remember when you said you got saved?
Right.
It's amazing how the Holy Ghost will bring things. During preaching like this, the Holy Ghost brings things to remembrance, amen.
Yeah, sure.
Well, this kind of preaching, Brother Tim, the kind of preaching, the Bible preaching, it confuses people. No, it convicts people, amen. And hallelujah, it'll shore you up. It'll shore you up in your faith when you're saved by the grace of God. Thank God, God come my way. That showed me my lost condition. That pierced me thoroughly, amen. He reproved me and he pierced me, amen.
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 And he deals with that they were pricked there. It means to pierce thoroughly, to agitate violently. Amen. The Holy Spirit, Sister Pauline's an agitator. You say, I thought that was your ministry, man. I'm in full-time agitation. I'm in evangelism, man. But the Holy Ghost, when he gets on the scene, he agitates violently. He breaks up that inner man. So the gospel light There's so much junk in every one of our lives, whether it be religion or filthy, ungodly sins, that has to be broken up. And then the gospel light shines through the darkened corridors of our soul. And I don't have to tell you, that light is Jesus. Where he said, "Let there be light." There was darkness upon the face of the whole earth. And God spoke and said, "Let there be light."
Yeah.
You ever been under conviction? Did it bring you to a point in your life where you was willing to repent? Who then can be saved? Those that are brought to conviction can be saved. You're not going to get saved without conviction. I didn't have time to get to those verses. But you're not going to be brought to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus without conviction. Brother Rose, well, if you just give me a New Testament, I'll go out and lead 10 people to Jesus. Without Holy Ghost conviction, you didn't lead any of those to Jesus. I'm not supposed to lead people to myself because I've got a great personality. There was a lot of God's men. They didn't have much personality. They didn't. But they was interested in leading people to Jesus.
Right.
Those that repent can be saved. And those who scripturally believe can be saved. It's simple, ain't it? But it's so profound. Unfortunately, a lot of people, even in our churches, miss it. Who then can be saved? With man, come on, Pastor Harvey, with man, this is impossible. I've been in a lot of meetings, amen, I'd say it's impossible. It doesn't look like God's moving much here. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Yeah.
God wants to move in our midst and save souls. Save souls. Let God work in your heart. Amen.
Amen.